All right, greetings, saints. Thanks for joining us today. And you can tell by this setting that I'm still on a ministry tour, and we've been through, ministered and loved on some pastors and had some vacation in North Carolina and Tennessee. And on this date, and this is October 24th that this will be presented, we're actually ministering in East Texas, Southeast Texas, the Lufkin area, and the Longview area. We'll be visiting some pastors there. So, hey, I'm excited to be with you. Thanks for joining me. I have something on my heart today, and I'm excited about sharing with you. But I want to remind you that one of our young pastors is preaching in my place on this date on the 24th, and we're recording his sermon, and we're going to post it on the 27th. That'll be Wednesday night. And so I really want to encourage you to join in on the 27th on Wednesday. And our young pastor, Richie Martin, will be preaching and sharing. And he has an amazing testimony. He's an amazing man of God. And I just love him so much. And he has an amazing testimony about him, about the power of God in his life. And he walks in the Spirit of God. I want to tell you, there, when he talks, you hear a freshness about Jesus. And I know you're going to enjoy him. And so be sure and mark your calendar, mark the time, and on Wednesday the 27th, October 27th, join in and hear Richie Martin, and amazing testimony in his family and what all God's done in the past year. He's actually a businessman that really loves the Lord, and he uses his business as a ministry springboard. And it's just so exciting to see Jesus in the day-to-day life. And so I think you'll really be touched by this and inspired. So enjoy Richie and enjoy Jesus in Richie Wednesday night, okay? And this morning I'm excited about sharing with you. And I'm going to share with you a subject that some people are excited about and some are leery about. And it has to do with the healing power of Jesus. And I know me saying that, some will be excited. Some will say, uh-oh, where's he going? Well, we're just going to look at Jesus, and we're going to look at the Bible. I'm going to share with you out of my own life some, and some examples, some stories, but we want, when you want to see the perfect will of God, and when you want to see the heart of God, when you want to see the desire of God, then what you do is look at Jesus, because Jesus is the perfect representation of the Father. And so when that's what we need to do is look at Jesus. And so I want you to, let's focus on the Lord. Let's focus on his words. Let's focus on his works. Because when we see, meditate on his words and on his works, the Holy Spirit reveals who he is. And I want to tell you, that's one of the major goals, major purposes of your life, whether you know it or not, is to get to know Jesus better and better. Get to know, as Paul said, his love. Deeper and deeper. And I want to tell you, our life here is to be a continual learning experience. It's to be a learning experience. We're to be ever growing. You never mature to the place that you don't have more to absorb and to take in and to enjoy of the Lord. And it's a growing, continual experience. God's not finished with any of us. Okay? And so if you hear someone say God's finished with them, get out of the way, step back, because that's not true. They've been deceived. This whole journey is a lifetime learning experience to growing and getting to know who we are in Christ and who all the Lord is to us and what all he paid for at the cross. We never get far from the cross, do we? We shouldn't, because, boy, I'm going to tell you, that's where our victory is, that's where our hope is, and that's where Jesus made the reality of everything that was said made available to every one of us. I want to tell you, that's powerful. And so it's so exciting. It's an exciting adventure to get to know what all Jesus paid for us to enjoy heaven and earth. And so that's going to kind of be an emphasis today. I'm going to talk to you about healing because I want to tell you, when I started out in the ministry, I just assumed, probably because of the people I was hanging out with and the churches that I attended, that, you know, all this was in the past, that the Lord just didn't do that anymore. Well, when I fell in love with the Lord, I found out that he's not tired or retired.
okay. He's not.
And you know what? He loves to love on his people. And one of the ways that he loves on his people is by ministering to our soul. And I want to tell you, when you accept Christ, your spirit is complete in Christ. That helps those scriptures, helps you understand when it says things that we're complete in Christ and we're a joint heir with Christ and the fullness of God dwells in us. Where is that at? I don't see it on my report card. No, that's in our spirit. And you are a spirit and you have a soul. That's our mind, will, emotions, personality, a little more than that. We have a soul and we live in a body. And so I want to tell you, it's exciting to know that the spiritual realm that Jesus paid for, that's what grace is. He paid for everything that we're going to need, and he paid for all that he is for us to walk in on this earth in victory. It's not a teaser, and he didn't flirt with us about it. It's a reality, but we're to reach up here into the spiritual realm, and that's what faith does. It's a bridge. Take what's in the spiritual realm that Jesus has provided for us and to receive in the physical realm. Well, how do we do that? Well, we do that by faith. Faith is our yes to God, and we receive hope from the Lord. And I know you've heard the term faith, hope, and love abide. They really do. We need it all. And the way that it's manifested or exercised, and a lot of times Hebrews will do this, but Hebrew will do this, but you start with the last that was said, you start with love, and we walk in His love, and His love will usher you in and convince you how loved you are, how amazing and how deep and how complete the love of God is, and how much that He loves you in spite of you. He loves me in spite of me. And because of His love, hope comes. Hope comes, and He paints on the big screen of our heart. He paints on the inside of us. That's what hope is. He paints inside of us what He wants to do and what He's doing in our life. And so we have hope of what He wants to do and what He's doing. And then faith comes. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. It's not going to happen. God's will is not going to happen in your life without the Word of God. And we got to saturate ourselves in the Word of God. I've known some Christians over the years that have just a little scripture of the day. And that's sweet and that's precious. But it's going to take more than a scripture of the day for you to find and fulfill and complete the Word of God, the will of God for your life. And God has a purpose for you, and it's so exciting. And this is the way you discern and receive the will of God, the purpose of God for your life. And part of that purpose is to bring Him honor and glory with the transformation in our soul, because our spirit's already complete. It's already saved. I mean, tell you, you are saved and complete in your spirit. But our soul, there's a lot that needs to be worked on in our soul. And I want to tell you, when we practice renewing our mind to the Word of God, there's a promise in Scripture that we are transformed. I'm telling you, it's a beautiful description of power, of transformation, like the bug to the butterfly, the caterpillar to the butterfly. It's a transformation, and it's a continual journey, and it's a lifetime journey. And what's beautiful about the power and the work of transformation of the Lord is that it can also, not only from our spirit to our soul, but it can also affect our body. And I'm telling you, that's good news, because the Lord loves every part of you. And He paid the price on the cross for your spirit, your soul, and your body. Is that interesting? Is that exciting? Well, I want to tell you, this is part of my journey, so I'm excited about sharing with you today. And I'm going to start out with Luke chapter 11, verse 2. And this is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. And I don't call it that, but it's an example of prayer. And it's a teaching and beautiful description of opportunity of how to pray. And so, but this is revealing the heart of God for us. When Jesus shared this expression of prayer, He was revealing the very heart of God for us. And so listen at this. He said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father, who is in heaven. You recognize the Father. Okay, we have a great, great Father. Hallowed be your name. And I want to tell you, precious is His name. You worship Him. You adore Him. You esteem Him. You know, we have a teaching where we talk about you esteem the Lord. And whatever, when you esteem the Lord, you disesteem yourself. And this is one of the biggest problems with Christians in our journey, is that we put ourselves way too high. But when you're honoring and esteeming the Lord, you disesteem yourself. In other words, you get out of the way to let God be God. That settles a whole lot right there. So hallowed be your name. Now listen to this. He says, your kingdom come. So this is God's desire, is for his kingdom to come on this earth. All right, his kingdom to be manifested in this earth. And so, you know, this is very, very exciting. You know, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so part of God's desire, and sent Jesus so that we could know Jesus and experience Jesus and grow in Jesus. So at the kingdom of God that Jesus introduced, okay, that was the works and the words and the will of Father on this earth for mankind, that kingdom would be manifested in our life. And I want to tell you, it would be multiplied on the earth. And so I know that there's a lot of emphasis about heaven. And I want to tell you, heaven is great and heaven's exciting and heaven is something. One of the benefits of salvation is heaven. It's not the only benefit. I know some places teach that, well, you receive Christ, and when you receive Christ, you get your ticket to heaven, and that's it till you die. No, it's not. He doesn't just leave you on the hillside or leave you on the roadside to just work it out on your own. No. He's got design and purpose here. He wants the kingdom of God, all right, the very purpose and plan and will of God, to be multiplied in your life. And not just in your life, but through your life, and to touch many others. And so how exciting that is. But it is his desire that as it is in heaven, so shall it be in your life. So shall it be in your family. So shall it be in your church. As it is in heaven, so shall it be in your community. Do you see this? I want to tell you, this is talking about that he wants the kingdom to be manifested now. Heaven's on the way. Heaven soon and very soon. And there's nothing wrong with meditating on heaven, thinking about heaven. What an encouragement that is. What a reward that it is. And it's not a reward that, you know, in the sense that we use human terms, like we deserve it or we earn it or we gain it. No, it's a gift. It's completely a gift. But it's a reward based on Jesus' works. And so we get to enjoy the trophy too. We get to enjoy the benefits of the reward that Christ won, the victory that Christ won. And part of that is everlasting life. Everlasting life and abundant life. And that's a good way to describe the kingdom of God being manifested on this earth with his believers, is that Jesus called it abundant living. And it's life to the much more. And you ought to say in your mind that Jesus has paid the price for me to have his life in my life in this journey to the much more. And I want to tell you, that's like a taste of heaven on earth. As it is in heaven, so shall it be on earth. Now, I want to tell you, there's a lot that I could stay there, but I want to share a little bit more with you. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to look at Matthew chapter 12. And see, I have a tendency to back up and cover more scripture on this, but I'm going to look at 11 and 12, and I'm just going to try to keep this in such a strategy way so we can gain a lot of ground, okay? But it would be worth it to you to go back and look at Matthew 12. But he said, you know, in verse 11, this is what's happening. He's in a synagogue, and there's a man with a withered hand, a hand that's been drawn up, and I guess been like this his whole life. And the Pharisees asked him, and they were continually trying to trap him and trick him so that they could accuse him. And I want to tell you, it's exciting, and I actually have done a series before how Jesus handled the critics and handled the Pharisees. And their motive was evil and their motive was wrong. But, you know, he had a withered hand, and they asked him, is it lawful or allowable to cure people on the Sabbath days? And they asked him this so that they might accuse him. Now, they worshipped the Sabbath, and they had all kind of laws about the Sabbath, what you could or couldn't do. And they missed the complete picture. Because the New Testament, what's hidden in the old is revealed in the new. And in the New Testament, it's brought out that the Sabbath is the picture of Jesus. He's our rest. He's our recovery. He's our refreshment. And, you know, in order to see, receive the freshness and recovery, the refreshing of the Lord, the renewing in the Lord, our part is to focus on the Lord and let the Lord be the center. Let the Lord be the main thing, and to receive from Him, to rest from our works and receive of His energizing and enriching that comes from Him. That's the picture of the Sabbath, okay? They missed it completely. But what's hidden in the old is revealed in the new, and in the new, what's revealed explains the old. Okay, so Jesus is the picture. And so this is what happens here. They're all caught up on a minor, and they're missing the major. That's probably an easy way to say it. And so Jesus said to them, listen what Jesus said. What man is there among you if he has only one sheep and it falls into a pit or a ditch on the Sabbath day? Will not he take hold of it and lift it out? In other words, you picture this. Here's your one precious lamb, and it falls into a ditch, and it's on the Sabbath, and you're not supposed to work and do self-effort on the Sabbath. But your prized lamb, your only lamb, is in the ditch. What are you going to do? Is it right to get the lamb out, or is it right to leave the lamb in there and let him suffer? All right? Well, of course. All right? If you know anything about the heart of God is love, and the heart of God is to help, and the Lord of God, the heart of God is to reach and meet needs. And so the sheep has a need. And then he goes on to say this, listen at this in verse 12, how much better and of more value is a man than a sheep? So in other words, we can take those very words that a precious lamb is worth helping. If there's a need, it's worth helping. But what about a sheep compared to a man? Well, let's just back up that story a little bit. What if your child fell into the ditch? Does the same rule apply? That, you know, well, we can't work, we can't sweat, we can't do any self-effort on the Sabbath. You see, their own rules, you know, trapped them and was bondage to them. But this was never the heart of God. It was to picture Jesus and receiving from Father. And so here's the deal. You know, what if your child fell into the ditch? Would it be all right then? Because man's more important than sheep. Well, of course it would. And I think we all remember a story years ago in the 80s. When I think the little one was named Jessica, and she fell into a water well here in Texas, and it was a worldwide event of the effort to take to get the little one out of the well, and how the whole world rejoiced and celebrated when she was rescued out of the well. And so that's what Jesus is saying, that we're supposed to view sickness. People that are in need are a higher priority with God than religious rules. And I want to tell you, it's big to the heart of God that when someone is sick or someone is hurting or someone that's in a need, God sees it like this, that you know what? That's high priority. And His heart is to help and meet the needs of people. We have a little saying around here. It goes something like this. If you find a need and meet it, you find a hurt and heal it. That's part of the ministry of Jesus. And when you minister to people's needs and you minister to people's hurts, that's right there at the heart of God. And I want to tell you, so this is big with the Lord. And so this was a big time. So when we view people that are sick, or if you're sick today, or someone in your family is sick, and maybe you struggled with this for a long time, and you say in your mind, well, where is God in this? Now, I want to tell you, God has compassion on you. And God cares for you. And Jesus wants to see you touched. And He didn't send sickness to you. Okay? Sickness is not a blessing. Sickness is a curse. If there's any doubt about that, you can look in Deuteronomy and see that sickness is a curse. But the beautiful thing is, the Bible says that Jesus took all of our curses. He became our curses. He took all of our curses upon Him on the tree. And so I want to tell you, He's paid the price on the cross. He paid the price in the suffering, even in Gethsemane, the suffering of His soul. He suffered for us to have relief. And so I'm here to just give you good news today. that the Lord loves to touch us. He loves to help us. And you may have been in a situation for decades, but I want to tell you, let's see Jesus as our healer. Let's see Jesus as our Savior. Let's see Jesus as our rescue. And so based on the scriptures that I've shared with you, you know what? Hey, he wants his kingdom to be manifested on earth as it is in heaven, so shall it be on the earth. So I'm asking you a question. Is there sickness in heaven? No, there's not. Okay, because that's not God's perfect will. All right, and so I want to tell you, as it is in heaven, that's what he wants in your life. And so the Lord paid an extreme price for the wellness of our soul. He received great chastisement while he was here suffering. He was a sacrifice that suffered. And he received that for us to receive the benefit of who he is. He took what we are so that we can receive what he is. Is that beautiful? And so that's part of the beauty of the cross. And so Jesus has paid the price. And I know that we live in a imperfect fallen world. And so in an imperfect fallen world, the Bible describes and Jesus described, we're going to suffer from things. We're going to face things. There's all kinds of things that's going to come against us. But I want to tell you, but the Lord is our hope. And he is a God of restoration. He's proved it all through Scripture. He's a God of restoration. And we're going to take a good look at Jesus about this. And so what I'm sharing with you, I'm just asking you to have a heart that's open to see Jesus. Let's just look at Jesus today. All right? And as you see Jesus, you see the heart of the Father. And give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to give you a fresh picture of the heart of Jesus for you in our suffering in this journey. And I'm telling you that the Lord doesn't send suffering to you. He doesn't test us or tempt us. There's an enemy that does that. But I want to tell you how powerful the Lord is that he can take any event and circumstance, any attack, any struggle that comes into our life or the enemy sends into our life, and he can take that, and as we submit it and surrender it to him, he can take it and use it. He can redeem it. He's a redeemer. He's a restorer. He can take any event and circumstance, and he can redeem it for your good and his glory. Now, there's a qualification on that. It has to be wrapped around him. He has to be the center. It has to be about his purpose. But I want to tell you, when we are submitted and surrendered to his purpose, we're free to receive. That's our position, to receive. Our humility, our dependence upon God, we're free to receive, hey, his restoration, his redeeming in our life, and he's able to take any event, circumstance, I don't care how long it's been, and he will take, in our agreement with him, he will take, and he'll redeem it for our good and for his glory. Romans 8:28 points that out. And so I'm excited to share with you a little bit more about that. But this is the deal about with us as believers. We celebrate and look forward to heaven, but we don't wait till heaven to experience the benefits of the kingdom in our life today. And he paid the price for our journey here. And we're going to show you a little bit about that. And so believers don't, we're not to, our focus is not death, all right? I want to tell you, that's a sidetrack, and God didn't, you know what? He hates death like we do. He didn't design death for us. You know, death was a result of the fall, all right? And so, but I'm telling you, he's promised that he'll be with us, and he'll walk us through it, and he'll bring us out in victory even through death, right? Jesus paid the price and conquered death for us. And so death has lost its sting for us. And all the saints said, amen. But what we look forward to is not death, okay? Even though we celebrate the promise of heaven and the reward of heaven on this earth, it motivates us and energizes us. But we don't look to death. We look to his coming. You see, that's the theme of the New Testament, is to look forward to his coming. And as we look forward and expect and anticipate his coming, there's great motivation, great energy, great life. Maranatha, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And that's our focus, and that absolutely enriches and energizes us. Is that great news? So that should be our focus. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about healing, because I experienced some healing of the Lord early on. And even though I was bouncing around and preaching in every kind of tag and title of church that you can think of, there were some churches that were really on board and probably out of bounds concerning healing. And there were some churches that were kind of scared of it. And there was a tendency in religion that if you don't understand something, then let's put it on a shelf and ignore it. Or if you don't understand something, there's some that even consider it of the enemy if you don't understand it. Okay? And but there was a sense amongst some spiritual leadership that, you know, we don't know about healing. We're not sure about healing. We don't really understand about healing. And so we'd rather not deal with it because it seems like it's out of control. Or, you know, we're not sure what box to put it in. And so there was a tendency to back away from it. And so, but really and truly, this, I'm telling you, healing on the inside of us, binding up the heart. You know, he said he come to bind up the brokenhearted. And there is so much in our generation of hurting hearts and wounded hearts and emotional disturbance and emotional achy, breaky hearts that I want to tell you, this is big. And Jesus said one of the primary purposes of his coming was to come to set captives free. There's all kind of addictions today, all kind of sickness today. But he came to heal. He came to set captives free. That's part of his ministry. And so let me tell you something. Don't put God in a box and don't limit God and don't restrict God to just a ticket to heaven. Jesus, hey, Christianity is not religion, it's relationship. And what he really loves is a relationship with us, an interaction with us. He wants to cause us and gave us a permanent helper called the Holy Spirit, because we need permanent help 24/7 to help us get to know him and help us to apply the word of God and help us grow in him and help us honor Christ. You know, that's our purpose on this earth, is to honor Christ. And so, you know, he's given us Holy Spirit to help us. But part of it is for us to experience all that he is. And he is a healer. Jesus is the healer. Don't dare look at a man as a healer. Even doctors, don't look as a doctor as a healer. You know what? Jesus is the healer. Okay, now he uses all kind of ways. All right, but Jesus is the healer. And so we need to have a dependency on Jesus first. And I know we've been trained, and I'm just going to say this, because this is in the church too. We've been trained to trust a doctor first before Jesus. And that's not right. I want to tell you, our life is centered on Jesus. Jesus needs to be the center. And even before we take an aspirin, we need to seek Jesus first. And I want to tell you, let's trust the Lord. Okay, let's look to the Lord. Let's look in his word. Man, Proverbs 4 talks about his word is actually life to all of our flesh. Bible says that the merry heart, okay, is like medicine to our whole being. And I want to tell you, a merry heart comes from a joyful heart in the Lord. And I want to tell you, the joy of the Lord and the peace of the Lord. I want to tell you, God keeps us at perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. There's all kind of promises in the Word of God about our mental health, our wellness of our soul. Man, he is pray. I mean, part of the prayer of the heart of God for us is that it would be well with our soul. And he paid a price, a high price for us to have that. And so what I'm saying is that, hey, let's let our dependency be upon the Lord. Let's look to the Lord first, okay? And you know, when we are sick, let's trust the Lord. Let's ask the Lord. Let's address sickness. And let's attack sickness and seek God. Seek God. Submit to God and resist the enemy, and the enemy will flee. Let's practice that. Let's practice what the Bible says, that, you know, you call the elders together. If some are sick, you call the elders together and have them lay hands on you and pray for you, anoint you with oil. But it's just a picture of Holy Spirit being active and manifesting and submitting to his life. And let God be first. And then if the Lord whispers to you, leads you, prompts you to take medicine, because you're looking at a man that takes too much medicine. I've told the doctors I'm coming off of it. And, you know, they've seen it happen before, and here I am again on another round. But I want to tell you, I'm trusting God for more. And I think that's what pleases heaven. What the Lord enjoys is for us to grow in him. And let's not be satisfied or settled where we're not. let's believe God for more. And I think it really honors the Lord for us to trust Him and depend on Him. And you know what? God uses doctors. Thank God for doctors. Okay? Hey, thank God for medication. All right? God uses wisdom in this world. Thank God for supplements and people that have an understanding. But I want to tell you something. Let's trust the Lord. Let's let the Lord be the first word. And let's let the Lord be the final word. Well, I'll tell you, that's pretty powerful. And I think, you know, we'll see Jesus and the manifestation of His love to us. And that's really what a healing is. It's a manifestation. It's one of the ways that God loves us. In the same way that God is our provider, and we're not to look to our job as our number one provider. Am I right? We're not to look at our bank account or our retirement as our security. Am I right? I want to tell you something. We're not to look to the government as our financial supply. Am I right? We're to look to Jesus. And let's let Jesus be, let's let Him be our first call and our first dependency. See, that's a good description of humility, is depending on the Lord to be our provider. He's our provider. And let's trust, He's not limited by your job. He's not limited by the government. He's not limited by your retirement. Okay? Hey, let's trust the Lord. This brings God honor and glory. And don't limit God by putting Him in a box and saying He can't do that or He won't do that. Let's look at the Bible and let's let the Bible be our source of what we believe and not maybe our experiences of the past or maybe religious words or even other people. Let's let the Word be our source. Are you with me on that? Let's let the Word be our source. And I've experienced the Lord's healing touch in a number of ways. And some of the healings were immediate and some were progressive. You say, well, how do you explain that? I don't know. You may hear me say that a few times because really and truly, I don't know it all. There's a lot I don't understand. But I'm telling you, I'm excited about the journey. I've experienced some things on the journey. And let me just rush to say this. If the Lord touches you and there's immediate relief, praise God. If the Lord touches you and there's a progressive relief, praise God. Okay? And I want to tell you, Jesus is worth it. And He says, you're worth it. And He paid the price for you to receive it. And so whether it's progressive or immediate, we praise God and give God the honor and glory. Amen? And I've got some things I've seen on progressive healings that, you know what, and I kind of compare it to the 30-fold, the 60-fold, and the 100-fold. And you know what, it may be a journey of healing. That's okay, because we have a journey with the healer, with the Lord. And so we're going to trust and depend on Him. You're not going to go wrong trusting God. I have people say to me, well, wait a minute. We don't want to put this expectation on people because they'll be disappointed and they'll be hurt. Well, you know, what if they're not healed? Well, what if they are? Hey, if you don't believe it, it's not going to happen. If you're not trusting Him, you're not going to receive. But I want to tell you, we can grow in our dependence on the Lord. We can grow in our confidence in the Lord. And it's so amazing to me how we as human beings can have one area where we trust God in freely and another area where we don't. Well, I want to tell you, that just means we need to grow. And God's not finished with us yet. Amen. But I want to just announce to you that don't focus on man and don't focus on the cause. Let's focus on Jesus. And let's pursue the healer. One of the best ways to be healed is to pursue the healer. All right? And, you know, sometimes we get caught up on the cause. Don't get caught up on the cause. The cause is not important. Okay? I can just give you a general cause. A general cause for sickness is sin. It came into the world through Adam's sin. All right? And I'm not even saying it was your particular sin. It could be, but I'm not saying it is. But I want to tell you, sin entered into the earth and sickness came into the earth because of sin. But the good news is that because of the one God-man, Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God in Christ, I want to tell you, we have relief. Okay? Salvation came through the one God-man, Just like sin came through the man Adam, salvation came through the God-man Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, in salvation, there's more than just a ticket to heaven. I want to tell you, he paid for your peace. He paid for your joy. And that joy and peace is not based on a circumstance, it's based on him. And I want to tell you, he paid for your healing. Boy, it's in the word salvation. The Greek word salvation is sozo. And when you look up sozo and see what salvation means, it includes heaven. Hallelujah. That's the greatest. But it also includes healing and health. It also includes provision. It also provides deliverance. And it also provides protection. I want to tell you, it's the shalom peace of God. And it's in, out, and all about, and it's big as God because salvation is Jesus. Jesus is our salvation. And so, you know, don't limit him on any way. Don't focus on people. Focus on Jesus. One of the tendencies is to focus on people. Don't do that. Okay? I want to tell you, you have just as much influence with God as anybody else because Jesus paid the price for us all to be a joint heir with Jesus. And, you know, some of us are further ahead than others, but I want to tell you, we all have that joint heir right with Jesus to receive from the Lord. I had a woman call me from another state, and she wanted me to pray for her healing. And she said, I've called four or five other spiritual leaders, and she named those names. And if I were to tell you those names, you would recognize them. They were big names, okay? And I don't know how I got on that list, but I shared with her, look, here's the truth. There is no pastor that has a greater influence with God than you do. Because the truth is that he paid for us to have open fellowship and divine rights with him. It's part of your birthright to receive from the Lord. He loves you just as much as he loves anybody else, and he paid the same price for anybody else that he paid for you. And so we have a lot to look forward to on this. Well, y'all going to have to listen a little faster because I got a lot more to cover. But please understand this. There's been times in my life I've prayed for people and they've died to go to heaven. There's been times I've prayed for people and they had to call the ambulance to come get them an hour or so later. You're looking at someone who doesn't understand it all. You're looking at someone who doesn't have all the answers. But I'll tell you what, I've seen the heart of the Lord. I see the word of the Lord. And we've seen many touched and many healed, some progressive, some immediate. But I want to tell you, I just want you to see it as God's heart for you. If you'll take from today that God's heart for me is to make me well and to make me whole. If you'll see that, then you'll be on a journey. Okay, the Holy Spirit will help you and lead you on a journey of walking in all that he paid for and all the saints said. Amen. And so there's probably a lot of reasons why we don't receive, but I'm convinced that the lack of receiving is not on God, it's on us. And so we're going to take a little look, and there's no condemnation here on this, but remember that Jesus' response to sickness is compassion. It's not judgment. It's compassion. It's the lamb in the ditch or the little child in the ditch. What do you do? Well, the heart of God is to help. And that's the answer. And we're to focus on the cure, not the cause. And the love expression is the priority. And I'm just going to say this. We tell our staff, you know, because we pray for people to get well. We don't pray for people to feel good while they die. Okay? We pray for people to get well. And you know what? We leave the healing up to the Lord. We're not the healer. But he did tell us to pray for the sick. He did tell us to lay hands on the sick and to pray for the sick and to believe for the sick. And you know what we do? This is what we tell our staff. You know what? When someone's sick and we're praying for them, the most important thing is that we love on them. Because I want to tell you, love is the major in the kingdom. Anything that's done in the kingdom that's not saturated with the love of Jesus, the Bible says it's wood, hay, and stubble. It don't count. And it doesn't have effect. But I want to tell you, when we're praying for someone, whatever the reason is, the most important thing, and we tell this to our staff, when you get through praying for them, we want to know, that we want them to know when you leave that I've been loved on by Jesus. Whatever the result is, if there's no results, Or if, like I told you, an hour later, they got to get an ambulance. We want them to know that when we ministered to them, we ministered Jesus to them, and we loved on them in the name of Jesus. And when people know that they're loved on in the name of Jesus, whether there's the Lord manifests healing in their body or does not, I want to tell you, they're better off. Are you listening? And sometimes I have people say, well, what if people don't get healed? Well, I want to tell you, if they're pursuing the Lord, if they're seeking the Lord, if they're knocking, if they're asking, if they're walking with the healer, I want to tell you something. Even if, are you listening? Even if you don't get healed, you're better off because there's wellness in your soul. I want to tell you, you're better off. And I want to tell you, because you have a closer walk with the Lord, you're walking with Him, you're listening to Him, you're enjoying Him, you're enjoying His fellowship. And I just want to say to you that even if you're not healed, I want to tell you, you're a heaven of a lot better off, okay, by walking with the Lord and by having fellowship with the Lord. So that's just a thought that I'm kicking out to you on that. And so it's important for us to pray His heart and His word over sickness. I want to announce something to you. Sickness is not a friend. And so don't call a sickness your sickness. This is my sickness. No, no. I want to tell you, Jesus said He paid for your healing. As a matter of fact, the Bible says by His stripes you were healed. Now, I realize that took place 2,000 years ago, but just like He shed His blood for your forgiveness was paid for 2,000 years ago. Now, it may be whatever year it is that you received that forgiveness, but it's already been provided. In the same way that your forgiveness has been provided for, your healing's been provided for, because this is what the Word of God says. Hey, our part is to learn how to receive. It's not on God. He's not withholding forgiveness from you. He's not withholding healing for you. He's not withholding provision for you. Are you getting the picture? He's not withholding deliverance from you. He's not saying, well, I paid the price for everybody but you. No, no, no. This is for you with your name on it. And so it's very, very exciting that we get to view this journey through the Word, okay, and through the heartbeat of the Lord. Because, Jesus represented the Father. He was the perfect representation of the Father. When you see Jesus, you see the Father. And we're going to take a little look at Him here. John 10:10 says this, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. And what I'm saying to you is that God didn't send sickness to you. The enemy does that. This fallen world does that. Okay, that's where germs and viruses come from. All right, but I'm here to tell you, God doesn't send that. The enemy does. No, it's real simple, and I have the gift of simplicity, but it's real simple to me. Enemy, Satan sends the bad. Jesus sends the good. And a matter of fact, we're told in Scripture to bind the bad and release the good. All right, that's part of how we pray. And so it's real simple to me, but I get this out of John 10:10. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. Who's that? That's the enemy. I came, and this is Jesus talking, that they might have, that you might have everlasting life and enjoy life. That's abundant life. Have it in abundance. The Zoe kind of life, the God kind of life in your life, in your lifetime, here on earth, to the full, till it overflows. That's what abundant living is. And just a little example of this, that it's God's heart. I want to tell you this little story. Years ago, I was doing some crusades in Central America. And at one particular village that I was preaching at, the pastor of that village, he wanted us to go see some people that were kind of deeper in the bush. And so we would take the vehicle as far as we could. Then we would walk down paths. And we came up upon this little man's that they called it, this little stick house. And it was up off the ground, you know, because it's the bush, you know, the animals and everything, snakes. And so it was built up off the ground, a little stair step up there, a little one room, kind of I wouldn't call it a cabin, but a little shack. And when we walked down this trail and come up on the house, and of course, I'm praying, you know, because in that particular part of Central America, there was a lot of voodoo that was practiced. And so, you know, you're in that situation. You're very aware of spiritual warfare. And so daily and continually, I was praying and taking authority and releasing the power of the Spirit and binding, you know, bind the bad, release the good. I was binding the power of darkness, and I was releasing and confessing the power of God, all right, to be manifested. So as we're going down this trail, I can just remember kind of praying. It was a part of my life. I was just praying and speaking this. And we come up on it, and here's the little man sitting up on the little porch, and he's sitting down in a chair like this. And so we go up, and the pastor greets them, and they're talking Creole. And I don't understand Creole at that time. I understood more of it before it was all over with. But, you know, he greeted them, and we walked up the stairs, and I'll be honest with you, I'm just going to tell you, I've had deer stands that were more stable, okay, than that little stairway and that little man's, that little shack up there. And so, boy, I was easing up there, trying to be as light as I could, okay, because I was probably the heaviest person that ever went up those stairs. But I get up there, and there's a couple of chairs there, and so they have a seat for me, and I sit down. And, of course, my purpose there is to share Jesus. And so I begin to share Jesus with him and the plan of salvation. He's not understanding quite everything, and so the pastor's interpreting for me, and I covered the plan of salvation. And when I get to the place where I invite him to accept Christ, he's big smiles when we arrive. And his big smile, and he shakes his head, yes, I want to receive Christ. And I'm just going to show you what a man of faith I was. I thought it was too easy, and I thought he didn't understand. So I backed up and went all the way through the plan of salvation again. And he's shaking his head, yes. And I asked the pastor said, Mr. Evangelist, let him accept Christ. He's ready. I said, okay, well, let's pray. And we prayed, and he repeated the prayer, and he prayed, and he accepted Christ. And I want to tell you, in the middle of the bush, in the middle of that part of the jungle area, and in that little area like that, on that little porch, I want to tell you, there was such joy that landed in this man. And he was so joyful. And I'll never forget, he stood up like this right here, and he held his hands up, and he hugged this pastor, and he hugged me, and they were celebrating and talking, and I'm sitting there celebrating too. I don't understand what they're saying, but I know what's happened, amen? And the pastor, local pastor looked at me, and he said, do you understand what happened? I said, yeah, he received Christ. He said, well, yes, he did, and there's more than that. And I said, what? He said, this man, since his birth, has been bent over, and he's never been able to stand up. Only time he can look up is when he sits down. And so when he stands up bent over. And he's been like this his whole life. And he had a dream last night. He said he had a dream. And God spoke to him and said, I'm sending a white man to your house. I was the first white man to ever come to his house. He said, I'm sending a white man to your house. And he's going to tell you about me. And you're going to receive me. I'm going to save you. And I'm going to heal you. I didn't know this. And so here I am, because the man's sitting down when I walk up, and he stays seated, and he accepts Christ, and he stands up for the first time. And there's great celebration taking place because of the salvation of his soul and the healing of his body. Now, I want to tell you, it wasn't because I was a great man of faith. All right. Now, look, I was following the Lord. I was walking in the Lord. I was administering the anointing of the Lord. I was speaking the word of the Lord. But the Lord did the saving and the Lord did the healing. Does everybody understand that? Well, I want to tell you, though, I saw something. Because even though there wasn't telephones or computers or cell phones in that time, in that area of the world, I want to tell you, word, and I don't know how, but word spreads through the bush. And I want to tell you, by that nighttime, for that service, that crusade service at nighttime, there were people. It was so packed. There were so many people. And I want to tell you, God was doing an amazing thing. And I saw for the first time how that healing is like a dinner bell that Jesus rings to draw people to him. Like a dinner bell. Because people came. And before the week was over, there was people that had traveled all night long through the bush. Down trails, traveled all night long to come to be at a service. And because word spread that Jesus is alive, Jesus is your Savior, and he's your healer. Now, I want to tell you, that was pretty exciting stuff. And I want to tell you, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not gotten tired or retired. And he was healed a lot of people in the New Testament. He's healing people today. And I just want to encourage pastors out there and encourage churches that I honestly believe that we're in the last days and that Jesus is coming soon. And I really believe, I'm sharing this with you, okay, that I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ is not going to go out with a pout, but we're going to go out with a shout. And I really believe that the Church of Jesus Christ here in the last days, and it's already on, because we're in the last days. Jesus is coming soon. But I believe there's going to be a great harvest of salvation in the last days. And I think one of the things that the Lord's going to use to draw people to Him is His healing power. And I want to tell you this, you know, any kind of virus that comes out, a pandemic worldwide or anything, I want to tell you, that's minor compared to Jesus. And I'm just going to share with you that I recognize that whatever the enemy does is a reaction to what God's doing. And so I want to announce to you, this is nothing, and Jesus is something. And we're going to see some amazing events take place with the power of God in the last days. It's going to resemble more like the Book of Acts church, the last day church, because the bride is going to come forth in glory and come forth in power and represent the groom in great ways. And I believe there's going to be a great harvest. And so I'm saying to pastors, I'm saying to churches, get ready. Get ready. We're in great days. It's on. It's coming. But we got to change our mindset. And we got to see the Lord as He is. And not by what religion says or what our past failures may say or our past experiences. Here's a theme right here. What God says in His Word is true. Our experience is wrong. Let God be true and every man a liar. But I want to tell you, when our experience doesn't measure up to what God says or what the Word of God presents, what Jesus is, then I want to tell you, that's not on Jesus, that's on us. But don't put your experience or your religious background higher than Jesus. Don't do that. Let the Word be the Word. And let's honor the Word. James 4:7 says this. So be subject to God. That's very, very important, to submit to the Lord. And resist the devil. Stand firm against the devil. And the Bible says he will flee from you. Now, however the enemy manifests, that's how we're to resist, okay? If he manifests against you or somebody in your fellowship, your family, your church with depression, I want to tell you, depression's not from God. And so you know what we do? We submit to God. We yield to the Lord. We submit to God. I want to tell you, that's humility, and great grace comes. And you know what? The Bible says that we resist. We speak it. We don't beg God to do something with this person. He's already moved. We don't beg God to move. He's already moved to the cross. He's already done that for us. And now he says, now you do it. Now you speak the word. All right? You speak to the mountain. Okay? Don't talk to God about the mountain. Talk to the mountain about God. Say what God says. And you know what? We're to take authority and pray like Jesus prayed. And we're to tell this depression, we're to rebuke it. We're to resist it. And I want to tell you, the enemy doesn't always leave at the first word. But I want to tell you, you know what? That's where, I want to tell you, heaven honors persistent prayer. And we just stand and declare the word of God. And Jesus does, he's the deliverer. He's the one that delivers. He's the one that heals. He's the one that saves. He's the one that provides. He's the great I am. And all the people said, amen. Yes, he is. So this is what we do. We resist the enemy. Now, we need to renew our mind. And focus on the desire of the healer in the Word and see his desire for you. It's got to come to a personal place with your address on it. And you got to see it that way. Speak his word, confess and agree with what God says. And then we need to act it out. We need to do it. We need to live it. We need to act it out. We need to apply it. And you know what? If there's just a little bit of progress, you know where we are? We say, you know what? We celebrate progress. It's a journey. And so let's celebrate progress. And the manifestation of healing, that's Jesus' business. Our part is to do the loving, to seek the Lord, loving on others, meeting the needs of others. That's our part. And so let's renew our mind till we are convinced that this is the Lord's desire and his will for you, is healing and wholeness. And he loves you. He wants his best for you. But I want to tell you, it comes down personally that this is where somebody can't do this for you. It's got to be you and the Lord. And you got to reach out there and grab the greater reality of His Word and make it yours. Make it yours with your name on it. You know, possess the promise. It's a promise in the Word of God, but you got to own it. You got to put your hand on it and seek the Lord and saturate your soul until you see this seed of the Word of God, this dream seed of His Word, till it births forth hope in your heart with your name on it. Own it. I don't know how to say it, but own it. Make it yours. You or someone you love may be going through some serious stuff right now. And I want to tell you, we have a great high priest who has compassion for you. He sympathizes with our struggles and with our weaknesses. And, you know, it may be a sickness or a disease in your life. I'm just going to announce and say some things that I hope will sink into your heart. Jesus is stronger than cancer. Cancer is weak. Jesus is strong. Hey, you may be having trouble with your carburetor, with your heart. Whatever Jesus made, He can fix. Okay? And he's greater than heart trouble. He's greater than bone disease. He's greater than any viral plague. Amen? Viral plagues are weak and He is strong. Amen? And so He's greater than any addiction. Okay? The addiction doesn't have to rule over you if you're letting your shepherd rule over you. And He's our deliverer. He's our deliverer. And He loves to do it. Hey, you got brokenheartedness? He said, I come to bind up the brokenhearted. And that bind up is a medical term. He's the only one that can heal your heart. He's the only one that can heal your memories. Isn't that beautiful? But He loves to do that. And He will do that. He's the one that can take a storm that's entering your life called depression. And He can cause that torment of that storm to cease. And He command those waves to be still. And those that loud wind to shut up of depression. And Jesus wants you healed, He wants you whole, and He paid an extreme price for you to receive it. Now, I know you may be saying, because I remember a specific time decades ago in a staff meeting where we were discussing healing. You know, sometimes we need to love the Lord enough and love each other enough to ask the right questions. The Lord is not intimidated by your questions, all right? And so, He loves for you to seek. And if you seek, you'll find. He'll show you His heart and His will for it. But I'll never forget in this staff meeting, it came out that, I know God can, because God can do anything. I just don't know if He will. Or I don't know if He wants to for me, for little old me. You know, that seems to be a theme, little old me. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus died for little old you. All right, He died for you, and He made it personal. He died for you, and you know what? He suffered for you, and so we're going to just look to Jesus. Matter of fact, that's what Hebrews 12:2 says, looking away from anything that will distract, and so don't let the testimonies of those who haven't received distract you from Jesus. Just look to Jesus. Just focus on Jesus. Don't let your past experiences or teaching that would draw you away from the potential of Jesus' love for you. Don't focus on that. Focus on Jesus. You can't look at the media and soak in all the death and the disease and all the statistics, and you can't let that be your focus and focus on Jesus at the same time. Esteem the Lord, disesteem the junk. All right? Esteem the Lord and disesteem the world. And so this is very, very important, looking away from everything that will distract us from Jesus. He's the leader and the source of our faith. And the Bible says He's also the finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. And He did it for the joy that was set before Him, and you were the prize. He did it for you. He endured the cross, despising, ignoring the shame, and He's now seated at the hand of the right hand of the throne of God. And that's the position of victory. That's the overcomer and the victory. He's our champion, and He is in that position for our life. Okay, for us to have that, to share that position with Him. And so look at John 4:34. Jesus said to them, "My food, my nourishment is to do the will, the pleasure of Him who sent me, and to accomplish and complete the finish of His work," to completely finish His work. And so this was the desire and the purpose of the Lord on this earth. And remember, He's our ultimate example. Okay, He's our example. and his will was to do, his heart was to do the will of the Father who had sent him and accomplish the works of the Father. John 5:19, and Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, the Son is able to do nothing of himself. In other words, he didn't come to do his own thing. I know there's a lot of Christians out there that say, well, I'm just doing my own thing. Well, you're wrong. And there's some of you out there saying, well, it's just me and Jesus doing our own thing together. Well, you're wrong. Jesus designed us to be a part of a body, be a part of the church. And we're to link up with one another. And we're to benefit one another in Christ. And to help one another in Christ. He designed you to be a part of a team. You're not a lone ranger. Okay, well, that was free. But he's able to do only what he sees the Father doing. That's what Jesus said. I don't say anything. I don't do anything on my own. I just do what the Father's doing. I don't say anything on my own. I just say what the Father's saying. Are you getting the picture? And he said, whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way. In other words, he says, I say what the Father says. I do what the Father's doing. And my purpose is to do the will of the Father. That's what he was here for. He's our example. That's what we're here for. It's not about your ministry. It's not about your name. It's not about your promotion. It's presenting Jesus. And when we make it all about Jesus, we're going to see the kingdom multiplied. I'm telling you, in great ways. And I think if the Lord can trust his kingdom with us, he'll trust it through us. And I'll tell you, I think we got a lot to look forward to, saints. And so Jesus only does what he sees the Father doing. That's what the Son does. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will and purpose, but to do the will and the purpose of him who sent me. Jesus displayed perfectly and completely the will of the Father. Everywhere our mighty Savior encountered sickness and infirmity, he healed them all. You say, wait a minute. Brother Tim, all? Yeah. T. Hall says all, because that's what the Bible says, all. There's only one time, one situation where we saw that Jesus was not free to minister healing to all, and he was in the place of his own background, place of his own village, and because they had unbelief. And I want to tell you, that ought to speak to us. It really should. It very well could be that I think, and I really believe, that one of the things that hinders Jesus from manifesting his love in great ways in our church is because of unbelief. Now, that's serious news. Now, let me tell you good news. We can deal with unbelief. And unbelief you don't cast out, you repent from. Okay? And you renew your mind. All right? And you give your allegiance to what God says. And you take doubt, speculation, and unbelief, and you submit that to the Lord. You focus and concentrate on the faithfulness of the Lord and who all the Lord is, what he says and what he does. Holy Spirit reveals who he is. And I want to tell you that, hey, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And faith is our yes to God. The more you're in that word, the more you're going to say yes to God. So it's very, very important. And so, but you got to see wherever Jesus went. Listen to a couple of these verses, okay? These may not be some that you normally read. Matthew 8:16, when evening came, they brought to him many who were under the power of demons. Now, I want to tell you, we don't have to be scared of the spooky. We don't have to be scared of darkness. Jesus conquered darkness, okay? Hey, they're already whooped, all right? And Jesus said, I've taken away the very power of the enemy to harm you. So there's nothing to fear in that, but there is something to resist. Okay, we're not to yield to darkness. We're not to practice darkness, give our members over to darkness, and we're to resist darkness. Okay, and when we submit to God and resist, the enemy flees. Boy, that sounds like victory, doesn't it? And Jesus won that for us. But listen to this. They brought to him many who were under the power of demons, and he drove out the spirits with the word. I'm telling you, with the word. And you know what some of those prayers look like in Scripture? Like this: leave, be gone. Get out of here. Don't come back. Those are short prayers. But they're prayers of authority. And they're prayers speaking the will, the words of Jesus, the desire of Jesus. And that's where we're to go. Okay? I want to tell you, it makes a difference. When you take the name of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, because we operate by his authority, not ours, and you speak to darkness and you tell it to leave, I want to tell you, that's Bible. Okay, it may not be what you've been taught in Sunday school, but it's Bible, okay, where we submit to God. We don't do it on our own. It's under his authority. and we use his name. That's our rod of authority, like Moses had a rod. We speak, we submit to God, we resist the enemy, and you know what the Bible says? He'll flee. Now, Jesus causes the fleeing. You don't chase him off, Jesus does. But I want to tell you, when we agree with him and we say what he's saying, kingdom of God is multiplied. Don't you want that in your life? And look at what it says here in Matthew 8:16. And he drove out the spirits with the word, and he restored to health all, man, I got to say it again, all who were sick. And so how many? Was it a few? No, it was all. Now, I want to tell you, say, well, that was just a one-time event. Well, if it was just one time, it's enough. But I want to tell you that 17 times in Scripture, it's mentioned that he healed all. 17 times. Now, remember now, when you see Jesus in action, you're seeing the perfect will of God. You're seeing the perfect heart of God when you see Jesus. And so I'm telling you, it's the heart of God, it's the perfect will of God, it's the desire of God for all to be healed. And so this is not condemnation to anybody, because I'm still needing healing. I've experienced quite a measure of it, but I need more. You may too. You may have someone in your family that needs healing. This is not to discourage you, it's to encourage you that there's more for us to learn. And I don't know it all. I've left the line of scrimmage. I've made some progress, and I'm telling you, this is exciting. And there's a whole lot I don't know, a whole lot I want to know, but I want to tell you, we're to be lifetime learners, and Jesus will lead us into his truth. That's what he promised. And he's given us a personal guide, Holy Spirit, and with that word, he will lead us into truth. Is that exciting? That's for you. That's for us. That's for your church. And Jesus healed all who were sick. And so there's a lot of references to this. I want to tell you what it didn't say. What Jesus never said. Okay, catch this. Jesus didn't say, well, Father is teaching you a lesson. And so he's given you sickness for a lesson to teach you something, so I won't heal you. That never happened. Okay? And I want to tell you, that whole thought pattern is just wrong. I believe that's just a lie from the enemy to get us not to resist. Because if you believe your sickness is from God, then you're going to have self-condemnation to try to get rid of it. If you believe God's given you a sickness to teach you something, well, don't go to the doctor and try to get well. You're going against what? You understand how that's just wrong. Jesus came to present the heart of the Father, because religion made him mean. Brought out that he was mean. But I'm telling you, Jesus taught us over and over to reveal the Father. He taught us that Jesus is a Father, is a great, great Father. And Jesus said, what I'm doing is the works of the Lord. What I'm saying is the sayings of the Lord. What I'm doing is the will of the Lord. And I want to tell you, it was his heart to heal. And so we need to embrace that. We need to think about that. We need to adjust our scope to zero in on Jesus, okay? And not man teaching, but on Jesus. And he didn't say to some people, well, you know what? You're just not ready. It's not the right season, and we're going to have to wait for you to be healed. He didn't say, well, you're just not deserving yet. He didn't say, you know, you haven't earned it yet. You're not goody-goody enough. You're not mature enough. You know, no. It's not anything about that. You understand that our salvation is by grace. It's not something we deserve. It's not something we earn. Well, think about salvation now. Remember sozo. I want to tell you, your healing is not based on your goodness. Your healing is not based on your deserving. I want to tell you how you received Christ. It was by grace through faith you received him. And the Bible says that the same way we receive Christ is the same way we walk in him. You know how we receive of all that God has provided? In the same way you received him as Savior, you receive him as your peace. It's by grace through faith. Now boy, I'll tell you what, if we can ever come to the place that we'll rest, that we'll learn to rest in childlike, not childish, but childlike faith, saying, Lord, thank you for paying for my healing. Thank you for paying for my restoration. Thank you for paying for my peace and my joy. And Lord, by faith, by grace, I know you provided it. By faith, I say yes to it. And Lord, I practice, I say it, I practice walking it, I receive it, I apply it, I receive it. I want to tell you, that's how you accepted Christ. Simple. In a way that a child can. And I want to tell you, I think we complicate it. We try to make it hard. We try to make it something we have to earn. And I want to tell you something, that's not God's way. Self-expression or self-effort is considered flesh and anti-God. I want to tell you of the spirit we practice receiving. And I'll tell you, I've already kept you too long, and I've got a lot more to cover. Let me just read this, Luke 6:19. And all the multitude were seeking to touch him. Now, I want to tell you, wherever he went, they would bring the sick from the surrounding areas, and they would line it up. If it was in the country, or a town close by, they would line the sick up on the streets, and they were just asked to touch him. And when they would reach out and touch him, virtue, healing power would come out of him and would heal people. And listen to this, and all the multitude were seeking to touch him, for healing power, this is Luke 6:19, was all the while going forth from him and curing them all. Man, there it is again. Amplified brings out saving them from severe illnesses and calamities. You know what? You say, well, you know, we got names. So you know what? No name is above his name. His name is above every name. And I'm ending this up, but let me just say it to you like this, and I hope to encourage you. I had so much more to share with you. We'll try to do this in a future time. But let me just say this to you. And Isaiah 53:5 brings it out. Look at it. This is what Jesus paid for on the cross. But Jesus loves to heal. He loves to help you. He's a need meter. Let the Holy Spirit show you the heart of Jesus and his desire to touch your life personally. When you reach out and touch the Lord, you're touched by his virtue. You're touched by his love life. You're touched by his power. Just like the little woman that was bleeding, that was healed, the little healed woman, she reached out and touched the very bottom of his garment, and virtue came out of him and healed her. And he announced to her, it was your faith. Your faith was a major ingredient in this. And let his word, not someone else's experience, let his word be the concrete you stand on. Focus on what the Bible says that Jesus accomplished for you on the cross. I dare you to read Isaiah 53:5, because he was beaten so that we could be made whole. He cares for your wholeness, and we do too. I hope I've encouraged you. I hope I've challenged you. I want to just end by saying that you may not agree with everything that I've shared today. That's okay. It's not a test of fellowship. If you keep listening, you're probably going to hear something you do agree with. And we probably agree with a whole lot more than we disagree about. But I'm here to share with you. Charles Spurgeon used to say this. He said, listening to a message is like eating fish. He said, I'll take the meat that I enjoy for now, and I'll set the bones aside, because there may come a time when the bones are important to me. And he also had a little saying. He said, if the hat fits, I pray thee wear it a bit. Okay, and he was a prince of preachers. I love Charles Spurgeon, but I want to tell you something. Take what the Lord is showing to you and apply it, because the truth does not set us free until we apply it. It's applied truth that sets us free. If it's sitting on a shelf or if it's staying in your Bible, it doesn't affect you. You need to take it and eat it. Consume it. Let it be a part of you. Sow the Word of God into the soil of your heart, and the kingdom of God will be multiplied in your life. I'm for you. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for spending this time with me today, okay? All right. God bless.